And welcome to everybody. My name is Alan Feil, and myself and David McCrild are elders of our church. And we want to formally present to you Peter Kim as our pastor. We had our vote on March 11, and I don't think we've actually presented him formally in the to the whole congregation. So we want to be sure to do that. We're very happy, and let's welcome Peter Kim as our new pastor. And Pastor Dennis and Kay are on a mini vacation leave this week, and we'll be back next week. And Peter Kim will be preaching for us today, and he'll be starting in September as our new pastor. So we welcome Pastor Peter.
The video that we just saw was about our university retreat that we had about 2 weeks ago. And we had a wonderful, a really great time. The theme was Wild Branches, and we went through four different messages, specifically talking about how we were outside of the kingdom of God, how we were rejected in the past, but then how we were grafted onto the root. How we are grafted on unto Jesus Christ. And because of that, now we are able to be a family here together. We're able to love one another, and also we're able to be a light to this world, to share with people around the world that there is life, that there is a chance to have a relationship with this God. Well, before I go into the message, I wanted to talk real quick about what I'm wearing today. Every time I've come up here to preach, I've worn some different ethnic clothing from some part of the world. Today, what I'm wearing is something from Cambodia. And so, I don't know what it's called. I just bought it in Cambodia. But it's from Cambodia. And the reason why I wear this is because I want to just remind us that our church here, we are filled with people from all around the world. And we have this wonderful opportunity to get to know each other, to be able to love one another, and to grow together. And today's topic is about forgiveness. And the title is Forgiveness Because of True Justice. And like I said, we have this opportunity to love one another. Our retreat, one part of the retreat was about loving one another. And the way that we're going to be able to love one another, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we could love one another. There's a lot of things that we could do. But one of the ways that we're able to really love one another, one of the ways that we're able to really show this idea that we do love one another is by forgiving each other. Now, how are we supposed to forgive one another unless we somehow end up hurting each other? So it's true, within the church, among brothers and sisters in Christ, we are able to hurt each other. Sometimes it might be intentionally, and sometimes because of sin, Sometimes it's unintentionally, and sometimes it is done intentionally. But we do end up hurting each other. Now, how can we come to a place where we actually hurt each other? Well, the way that we're going to end up hurting each other is if we actually have a relationship with each other, if we're actually close to each other. And how do we come close to each other? It's if we're part of a community together. It's if we're part of a family together. At this point, what I want to say is that if you've been a part of our church and you've made a commitment to be a part of our church, then I want to ask you, even if you're going to be here for about 3 months, a few months, or if you're going to be here a few years, if you feel like you're not going to be here a long time, but still you've committed to become a part of our church, I want to ask you to consider joining our membership. Because through joining our membership here, we're saying basically we want to commit to you and you will commit to us and let us grow together as a family. And so as we become a family together, we will get close to each other. But as we get close to each other, there is a chance that we will end up hurting each other. But then that's the opportunity when we can forgive each other. And when we're really able to forgive each other, that's how we show that we love one another. And one thing that I want to point out that we talked about at the retreat is, if we are able to love one another, as Jesus says in John chapter 13, if we are able to really love one another, then the world will know that we are his disciples. In other words, if we're able to really love one another, then evangelism, outreach, happens automatically. And perhaps there are many people out there that have come into the church, that have wanted to try out the church and check out the church, but they've seen how Christians hurt each other and they don't forgive each other, and it just seems like it's just a mess in the church. Maybe that's why our witness isn't as strong. And so it's important for us to really understand what it is to forgive one another. Before we move on, let's look at today's passage. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. And I want to encourage you guys, if you don't have your own Bibles, to open up the Bibles that are in front of you in the pews. Sometimes it's easier for us to remember God's word as we see it in front of us, not as we're flipping through it on our phones. But I know, a lot of us read our Bibles through our phones too. That's okay. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. This is a reading of God's word. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. This is the reading of God's word. Amen. So we're talking about this idea of forgiving one another. And I want to make it specific. I'm not talking about just forgiving anyone out there. I'm talking specifically about forgiving brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Forgiving people that are in the Lord. And so right now, as we talk about this, maybe you guys could think about someone that you've been hurt by, maybe in our church. Or maybe someone that you've been hurt by in your church before you came to Taiwan. Maybe you were at another church before you came to our church here in Taiwan. But think about that moment. Think about that time. If you're willing to, think about all the emotions that you went through during that time. Forgiveness can be a very difficult and costly thing. Why is this so difficult? Forgiveness is difficult. It's hard to do because every time someone does something wrong against me, there's a debt. There's something that's taken away, and that needs to be paid back. There's this sense of justice that comes to me. Whenever someone does something wrong against me, I feel like I have something that's lost now, and I need it to be paid back. Whenever we're sinned against, or hurt by someone, or offended by someone, we all sense this feeling of a need for justice. And I just want to say real quick, I'm thankful to Pastor Dave DeForge. He's a pastor that is on the East Coast of America. And he's the one that brought this idea to mind for me. What is the sense of justice that we feel? Well, basically, whenever we get into a fight, whenever we're hurt by someone, some of us are confrontational. Some of us, we're not. We kind of withdraw ourselves. But then in our hearts, what's going on? We have this sense of justice. And that comes out in the form of demanding that they admit that they were wrong. Or it might come out in the form of defending myself to show that I was actually right. What you did to me was wrong, and I was right. Or demanding that they pay for something. Or demanding something in return to ease this feeling that something was taken away. There's this desire that's within us to make things harmonious again. And it won't come about. This harmony won't come about unless we demand that the right or that the wrong be made right. So what is forgiveness then? Forgiveness is letting that debt that you feel, that you sense. Forgiveness is letting that debt go and saying, I'm not going to hold this against you any longer. Okay, we know that forgiveness is needed. But what if we don't forgive? And I know that for some of us here, even though we're Christians, we don't forgive. Sometimes we fool ourselves and we think that we've forgiven. I found this on a counseling book, and it says that these are signs of that you think you might have forgiven the person, but you actually haven't. Okay, so let me read a couple of them to you. It's not really forgiveness when forgiveness, the idea of forgiveness, makes you feel better or more superior than the other person. It's like saying, that's right, I forgave you, even though you did that to me, but I forgave you. Right? If you feel that way, then it's not really forgiveness. Another way is when forgiveness is one way. Meaning, a person says, man, it was all your fault. It's all your fault, and you're the one that did all this wrong to me. But I'm going to forgive you, but it's all because of you. It's only one side. It's coming only from this one point of view. That's when it's not forgiveness. Or another one is when you think you can get over your hurt by just denying that the hurt is there. You know, when people come to you and they say, you know, are you okay? I heard that you know, someone did this to you. And you're like, I'm okay. I'm okay, really. Really, I'm okay. But inside you're still hurting. Right? That's not real forgiveness. Another one is this. It's not real forgiveness when forgiveness is denying anger. Right? It's like saying, I'm over it. I'm over it. You know, some people respond by that, by saying that, right? I'm over it. I'm not going to get angry. You know, whatever. It's okay. But it's not really forgiveness if you haven't really let yourself go through the pain and the hurt and even the anger. It's not real forgiveness when forgiveness ends open relationships. Okay, so maybe some of us have gone through some hurts, and because of that hurt, you say you've forgiven that person, but you're not really willing to reconcile with that person. You're not really willing to have a relationship with that person again. If that's the case, that's not true forgiveness either. Forgiveness is hard. And if you don't forgive, there's a pastor by the name of Chuck Swindoll that says this. If you don't forgive, he says, Jesus is saying, the one who refuses to forgive, the Christian who harbors grudges and entertains bitter feelings toward another, will be turned over to torturous thoughts, feelings of misery, and agonizing unrest within. Did you hear that? If you don't forgive and you keep on holding on to this thing, this debt, and you have this sense of justice, if you hold on to it, basically, you'll be turned over to torturous thoughts, agonizing pain. And at some point, it might even come out in the form of physical, it might have physical effects. I watched a YouTube video recently that where a guy was talking about depression. And I know you can't trust all YouTube videos. I know that. But then there's this guy, and he was just proposing one possible idea. He said, you know, I think depression is not just a chemical imbalance in your head. I mean, maybe, in some cases, but for most cases, depression comes about because of something that has happened in your past. And maybe it's because you constantly feel lonely. You've been in situations where you constantly feel lonely. Or you've been in situations where, he says this, you haven't seen enough green, you haven't seen enough nature, right? But then there are other things that he mentions. He says about feeling lonely, or if you're feeling controlled, or if you have no sense of a future. And if you think about what unforgiveness is that because you haven't forgiven that person, you don't have a relationship with that person anymore, and there might be this sense of loneliness. Or there might be this sense of being controlled by that thing that you haven't forgiven. It just constantly plagues your mind. Or you have this sense that there's no future. There's no hope because this unforgiveness is still there. And so it's possible that because some of us, we hold on to this unforgiveness, that it may affect our lives, even physically. We need to forgive. It's important to forgive, not only for our emotional health, not only because we're told to love one another, but especially because this is what Jesus calls us to do. Jesus calls us to forgive one another. So I want to read for us our passage again. Peter came up to Jesus and he says, Lord, how often will I forgive my brother? How long will he continue to sin against me and I need to forgive him? 7 times? And Jesus says, no, not 7 times, but 77 times. And we want to talk about this passage now. So if you have your Bibles, look at the passage. And we want to try to figure out what's going on here together. All right, so as we start in verse 21, it says, then Peter. But we're going to stop right here. And when it has the word then, the Greek word in here is tate. Maybe you could look to your neighbor and say tate. Tate, what does this word mean? It means then or thereafter. What that means is that it's preceded by something. There's some content before this passage. Sometimes people read Jesus' words and they say, oh, yeah, I'm just so blessed by this one verse right here. But if you're just looking at that one verse and you don't know what's going on before or even after, then you might not really know what's going on in that verse. So it's important for us to look at what's going on before and after. And this particular verse, it starts with the word then. So it's actually causing us to think, okay, something was going on before. So let's look at that. We're going to go all the way to the very beginning of the chapter, and I'm just going to go through it real quick, just to give us a context of what's going on. Okay, in verse 1 to verse 4, the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And what does Jesus do? He calls children to him and he says, look, whoever humbles themselves like this child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so he brings a child and he points the disciples to this child. Their attention is on the child now. And Jesus talks about this idea of being humble. But then what does Jesus talk about next? If we go on in verse 5, it talks about receiving these children, and if you do a wrong against this child, then what happens? Then it's better for you to actually get this huge stone, tie it around your neck, and throw yourself into the ocean. Basically, it's better for you to die if you harm this child. What is Jesus saying? He says, if you want to be great, you need to humble yourself. But one of the ways to humble yourself is to observe what you do. How are you sinning against other people? How are you affecting other people by your own life? So Jesus goes on, and he talks about how if you stumble children, and then I just want to point out for you guys, this word stumble in the Greek, and I know I'm bringing up Greek a lot today, but it's important, is skandalizo. And what word comes to mind in English when you hear this word? Skandalizo. Like scandalous, right? Scandalize, if you could turn it into a verb. Basically, it's this idea of offending someone. It's this idea of causing someone to sin. It's this idea of causing someone to stumble. Maybe it might cause someone to doubt their faith in God. And this word is used over and over again. It's not just for stumbling children, but even in verse 7 when it says, woe to the world for temptation to sin, what it's saying is, woe to the world for causing people to stumble. It's the same word in Greek here, even though in English it's different. For it is necessary that this stumbling occurs. It's necessary. But if your hand or foot causes you to stumble other people, if it causes you to sin, then it's better to cut it off. Basically what it's saying is be serious about your sin. Every single Sunday we come here and we do the confession. We have a time to confess our sins. But it's easy for us just to go through the motions and not really take this seriously. What about in our daily lives? How serious are we about our own sin? How we affect other people? And so Jesus is pointing to the disciples themselves and saying, look, observe yourselves. Humble yourselves first and observe what you do. Jesus goes on to talk about a lost sheep, how he's going to go and he's going to find that one lost sheep. He's going to leave the 99 and go and get that lost sheep. And basically what Jesus is saying here is, you know what? All those people that you have caused to stumble, I care about them. And I will leave the 99 to go find the one. I care about my little ones. And so you better be careful how you affect my little ones. It's kind of a strong warning from Jesus Christ. How do you, by your actions, by your words, how do you end up sinning or causing people to stumble? Whether it be your own children, whether it be your spouse, your roommates, whether it be your classmates, or even just the people that are sitting next to you. How do you cause others to stumble and fall? Jesus is really causing us to rethink, to really examine ourselves. And then In verse 15, Jesus goes on and says, up to this point, up to verse 14, I've been talking about how you need to be careful how you sin against other people. But now, in verse 15, Jesus is shifting and saying, but there are times when other people will sin against you. So how are we supposed to react then? Okay? So we might sin against people, and we need to really examine ourselves, but there are times when other people will sin against me. So what are we supposed to do then? So in verse 15, this is what Jesus says. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Okay, so what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, if someone sins against you, and this could be any offense that you feel, if someone has done any wrong to you, then you go and tell them their fault. Now, I know some of us, we're kind of shy, and we're just like, oh, but I don't know if I want to cause trouble. And then what ends up happening? Oh, but that person did that thing to me, and you hold on to your debt. Oh, remember when that guy did that thing to me? Oh, man. And every time you see that person, oh, it's that person. I better walk this way now. And it becomes very awkward between you two, right? It becomes really awkward because you haven't dealt with the sin. So Jesus says, if someone has wronged you, even if it's some small offense, but you're affected by it, go and tell that person. Now, if the person apologizes, if they're sincere and they're like, oh, I'm really sorry, then you're able to reconcile. Again, Jesus says, if a brother or sister in Christ, it's one of us in the church, if a brother or sister in Christ sins against you and they apologize, you point it out and they apologize, then you are able to reconcile again. Okay? But if they don't listen, then it says to call two or three other people. And the best way to do that is by calling our elders right here. We have two elders right here. Call them and see what they think. And sometimes they could give wisdom and say, you know what? You were offended, but that's not a big deal. You don't need to get this angry about it. Right? And you might be like, oh. But remember how Jesus started? If you want to be great, you got to humble yourself. And if the elders are saying, oh, I don't think you need to be offended by this, then we need to humble ourselves and say, okay, God, I need to maybe confess my own sin against you through this, becoming so affected and angry about this. But if the elders do say, hey, this is something we need to deal with, then you go forth, you continue. And if the person is consistent, if the person is like persistent in holding on to what they've done and they think they're right and they just won't confess their sin, then the Bible says to treat this person as a non-believer, basically. To not have any communion with them, to not have any fellowship with them. And this is an act of love, because the hope is that if the person is blocked out of our community, and our community is a loving community, that this person would want to come back in. And so it's a loving action. We're hoping that this person will turn back to Christ and come back into our community. But sometimes we need to take that step to point out sin. And then we come to where Peter says what he says. Because what if a person does sin against you and it's not just once or twice? What if it happens multiple times and you've forgiven them once, but they do it again? You're like, okay, I've forgiven you again. But they do it again. You know, it goes on in verse 21. And Peter is actually trying to show that he's better off. Maybe he's doing okay. Why? Because he says, Jesus, if someone sins against me over and over again, How much am I supposed to forgive them? Up to seven times? We want to talk about this idea of the number seven. There are some rabbinic teachings. So during that time, a lot of these rabbis, Jewish teachers, would teach about forgiveness. And there was an idea, at least in two sources that we could find, that talk about how if a brother sins against you, you could forgive them once. If they sin against you again, you forgive them again. If they sin against you a third time, you forgive them again. But if they sin against you a fourth time, you don't have to forgive them. There was a teaching like that. And so if you think about what Peter said, it's not just three times you forgive them, but you double that and one. So Peter is saying, up to seven times? I mean, that's a lot, right, Jesus? I mean, we're going above and beyond what the rabbis have been teaching. And Jesus comes back with an answer. Not seven times. 77 times. Or some of your Bibles might say 70 times 7. The important thing is not the actual number. The important thing is that Jesus went above and beyond what Peter was even expecting. Basically, what Jesus is saying is there is no end to you forgiving them. There should be no end. Now, all of us here, especially those of us that have gone through different kinds of hurt in our past, and I have too. I've gone through some situations in my past that have been really, really hurtful. Some of you guys may be thinking, if that person keeps sinning against me, I'm supposed to forgive them? It hurts so much. It's just not fair. Do you see the debt that is getting bigger and bigger? That person has taken away my youth. That person has taken away my pride, my reputation. That person has taken away my time. That person has taken away my rights. That person has taken something away. You don't realize, when you're telling me to forgive, you don't realize how much I've been hurt. And some of us might be sitting here with this huge debt that we're still dealing with. And every time you see that person's face and they say something, it just affects you over and over, and that debt gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're thinking, Jesus, I know you say forgive a million times over, but man, it's so hard. I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. It just doesn't make sense. And so what do we do? What's our reaction to that? We see all these, I don't know if you guys go on Facebook often or not, but sometimes if you look at some Facebook posts, they post things like, you know, oh, this is a way to cope with a person that has hurt you, or this is how you're supposed to do relationships, or this is how you're supposed to, you know, seven steps or five characteristics, or, you know, has all these things, right? And you're like, oh, okay. As we think about that, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. As we think about forgiveness, give me a moment. That's right, I was talking about the justice that's building up. And some of us, when we hear about things from online, basically one of their suggestions is to make boundaries. And I think that's right. There should be some boundaries. But then the kind of boundaries the suggestion that's made is basically saying, let's limit our contact with people so that we can have kind of a harmonious relationship. Or maybe I can have a kind of a harmonious life. Right? Let's keep a certain distance, and I'm going to draw this boundary so that you don't get past here, so I don't get hurt again. And if you think about the idea of boundaries, in a way, what this idea is I'm going to protect myself so I don't get hurt again. What does Jesus tell us to do? Jesus tells us to forgive. Jesus tells us to reconcile. Jesus tells us to build that relationship again. But it's hard, right? And we constantly have that sense of justice. But that person, they need to at least apologize. They didn't even apologize yet. We have this demand that they pay back what they've taken away. There's no true justice. But then, if we stop here and we just hear Jesus say, okay, forgive 77 times, forgive a million times, and we're like, okay, I don't know how to do that. All right, I just need to forgive. Oh, I forgive you. Oh, I forgive you. If we just stop here, then this is just a message about, my message would be the same as a Facebook post. But Jesus goes on to explain in a parable afterwards. And we're not going to read through the whole thing, but from this point, from verse 23 on to the end of the chapter, Jesus gives this parable about a king. And the king was going around and he wanted to settle debts. And he found one case where the servant owed him a ton of money. And even if he worked his whole life, there was no way that this guy was going to pay everything back. There was this huge debt that he had to repay. But what does the king say? The king says, I'll forgive you of your debt. Now, this servant, he goes on and he finds another fellow servant. And he says to the fellow servant, hey, you owe me some money. And the amount that he owed him was a small amount. Okay, if we were to do a comparison with the numbers that was given here in the parable, it's almost like saying, this first servant, he owed the king, even if he worked all his life and another life, he wouldn't be able to pay back that amount. But with this fellow servant only owed him about 3 months' wages. So, I mean, it's still a significant amount, but it's not that much compared to how much he owed the king. He says, hey, you owe me this much. And he went and started choking him. You know, I'm going to have you thrown in jail if you don't give me back my money. Right? And so he gets thrown in jail. The king finds out and says, you wicked servant. If I forgave you this amount, why wouldn't you forgive that amount? Now let's think about that a little bit. Why would this servant, after leaving the king and experiencing this forgiveness, why would he go to another servant and demand payment? Because maybe in his mind he was thinking, I'm going to somehow give back what I owe to the king. I'm going to demand all the people that owe me money, I'm going to get it back, and I'm just going to give back something to the king and say, look, I'm trying to pay you back. But it's impossible. It's impossible to pay everything back, right? But he's trying to make some kind of effort to say, look, I'm trying, right? I want to gain favor from you because I know you owed this much and you forgave me. I want to gain your favor some more, so I'll try to do it this way. Think about it. That's us. That's us when we say, Lord, you've forgiven me. Thank you so much. And then we go and we're demanding people to apologize. We're demanding justice from people. And we're saying, we want to make sure that things are good in this life so that somehow maybe through that, I can have a better relationship with God. If I could make my life harmonious in my relationship with other people, somehow my relationship with God will be better. It just doesn't make sense. In a way, it's almost like saying, I want to do things in a right way so that I could gain God's favor. But God says, I've already forgiven you. I have already shown my love to you. Why are you trying to do that? It doesn't make sense. This is the difference. And this is the way that we need to think about it. When there's a debt, it needs to be paid for. And that's what our heart cries out for. When there's a debt, it needs to be paid for. And every debt will be paid for. What about my debt against the Lord? My debt against the Lord is infinite because it's against an infinite God. But my debt is paid for by who? By Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid for my debt. Now there's another brother or sister in Christ that offended me, and there's this debt that I am demanding payment for. But who paid for my brother or sister's debt? Jesus Christ. That debt is already paid for. Now let's think outside of the church now. If there is a non-believer that wrongs me, and I have this debt, and I want to demand that debt, who will pay for that debt? It won't be Jesus. It'll be that person themselves in hell. Because God will say, you have this ultimate debt because you sinned against God and you sinned against others. And you will spend the rest of eternity paying back that debt through punishment. Now, if you're an unbeliever here, if you're seeking what is truth, and that's why you're here in the church, and I want to speak to you for a moment. And you're hearing about things like forgiveness, and you have most likely also been hurt by people in the past. And I just want to declare to you today that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross so that all who believe in him, all of their debts would be paid for. And even the great debt that you have against God, your debt will also be paid for. But until then, I mean, I have to say this. If you don't accept Christ, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you will end up paying for your own debt in eternity. But for all of us that do believe, Jesus says, I have paid your debt. I have paid for your brother's debt. And so when we look at our brother or sister in Christ, we need to remember that there was already true justice that was carried out on the cross. And because there's true justice, because Jesus Christ died for my sins and Jesus Christ died for my brother or sister's sins, there is true justice. And that's why I'm able to say all this debt that I'm feeling, I'm able to let it go. Because of true justice, we are able to really, really forgive. And not just pretend like we've forgiven people. I want to end with this. So how do we forgive? Because when someone does hurt you, it is very painful. And it could hurt a lot. And I know that for some of us, we still struggle with some of this pain. So I just want to go quickly through these steps of how we might forgive. And I'll just summarize it for you right now. It's look to Jesus Christ. That's a summary. But here we go, first, step by step. Number one, acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge that there is a debt. Acknowledge that someone has offended you. You can cry, grieve over it, be angry over it. Acknowledge that there is a debt because you have lost a hope because of this, what this person has done to you. You've lost maybe your sense of pride, or you've lost faith, or you've lost some time, you've lost your reputation. And acknowledge the fact that you won't be able to get that back. Acknowledge the debt. Number two, look at your own debt that you caused by offending God. Look at how much you've sinned against the Lord. Look at your own debt. And that debt, remember, the way that your brother or sister sinned against you can only be equivalent to maybe like a 3-month wage type of thing. I'm speaking analogically, right? But then your debt against God is 2, 3, an infinite amount of lifetimes that you need to pay back. Observe your own debt. Think about how much God has forgiven you. And if God has forgiven you that much, then we need to realize how we are able to forgive the brother and sister. The third step is this. As you think about how you want to forgive that person, look to Christ. Pray. Say, God, I need your power to be able to forgive that person. I need your strength. I need your comfort to be able to forgive that person. And look to Christ. Lean on him. And when you do actually forgive that person, what you're saying is basically, whatever debt that I've had, whatever I've been demanding from that person, I'm going to let it go. And I'm no longer going to demand that from that person. I'm going to make a choice to do that. And it's not necessarily going to be about how you feel, but it's going to be about a decision that you make to not hold that offense against that person. The next step is this. Pray and seek wisdom whether or not to express your forgiveness to that person. Because there are cases where you do actually need to say that you've forgiven that person. But perhaps not all situations would require you to actually express your forgiveness to that person. So pray, get some guidance from people that may have more wisdom than you, or just another brother or sister in Christ, and think through that, whether or not you need to actually express your forgiveness. But here's the thing. If you have forgiven that person, you need to seek reconciliation. Forgiveness doesn't mean that there is actually a reconciling of the relationship. Forgiveness means that you're just letting the debt go. But after you've forgiven that person, seek reconciliation. And here's the last step. When temptations come, after you've forgiven that person, there may be temptations to hold the thing against them again. Okay, and I'll tell you, I do this all the time. I'm such a sinner. My wife and I, we fight all the time. And I've done so many things wrong against her. But there are some times that she does some things wrong against me. And when I am offended by her, I might argue and I might defend myself. I might say, you know, this is what you said, this is what I said, you know, and I try to find justice and I feel this debt. And then this goes on, we forgive each other, we reconcile, and then there comes another point where I'm offended again, and there's this temptation for me to be like, remember that last time? You do this all the time, right? There will be this temptation to forget that you've forgiven that person. But it's a temptation. And a temptation is not a sin unless you've actually acted upon that. So when you're tempted, make that decision. I'm not going to hold it against that person. I want to close by saying this. And today, I know the message was more about us thinking through just the chapter and this idea of forgiveness. But this is what I want to leave you with. If you're a part of our church, if you've committed to being a part of our church, even if you're going to be here for a few months, I encourage you to join membership and become a part of this family together. But as we get closer and closer as a family, there will be times that we hurt each other. Just expect it. There will be times that I myself might offend you. Right? Like, oh, pastor's message today was just not so good. I might offend you. And there might be times that you offend me. But it's going to happen because we're all sinners. We are going to offend one another. But that's the very opportunity where we could practice forgiveness with one another. And through that, we're able to show that we actually do love one another. And the reason why we're able to love one another is because Christ first loved us. I want to close with a quote and two Bible verses. One quote is from C.S. Lewis. Pastor Dennis always quotes C.S. Lewis, so I got to do my part also. C.S. Lewis says this, "The only way to be sure not to have your heart broken is to never give it to anyone." I'll read that again. "The only way to be sure not to have your heart broken is to never give it to anyone." And I tell you, in our church, it's going to be very, very easy to not get close to anyone. And you won't get hurt by anyone, and you have a wonderful experience of our church. But that's not what church is about. We're a family here, and we need to grow together. Romans chapter 12, verse 16 to 19 says this, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord." There will be true justice. And because there will be true justice, let us forgive one another. Colossians 3 says this, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the great debt that was paid on our behalf through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus went through so that our sins would be paid for. And Lord, as we look to one another now, or even past hurts that we've experienced, Lord, allow us to really think through those things, that we may be able to forgive one another, that we may be able to reconcile with one another. And Lord, so that you would be honored and glorified, that the world will come to know what your love is really all about. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.